Shalom, Mishpocha. Shalom, family. Mishpocha is a Hebrew word. It means family. We're the Mishpocha, the family with a Jewish heart, made up of Jewish and non-Jewish people where the middle wall of separation between Jew and Gentile, it's finally come down to form one new man. Getting ready, Mishpocha, to blow the grandest shofar or the grandest trumpet in Zion. We want everyone, everywhere, to hear the good news. We want everyone, everywhere, to be red hot for the Messiah. My guest, Mark Ferkler, I'm so excited to be releasing to you his 3-CD set and workbook on how to hear God through your dreams. Trust me. This is different than any course you've ever heard about before. The biggest difference, it works. Mark, earlier in the week, you told me something that excited me immensely. You said that it's biblically possible and it's experientially possible for us to receive gifts in dreams. Explain what you mean.
All right. Solomon received a gift in his dream. He had just been put in as king, and he was scared. He was young. He was afraid. And if you go to 1 Kings chapter 3, just the first 10 verses or so, it says that in Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night, and the Lord said, "Ask what I shall give to thee." And then what he asked back for, he says, "Give therefore thy servant an understanding heart." And in the Hebrew, it's a hearing heart. And in the New American Standard, it says hearing heart. "So I can judge thy people, that I may discern between good and bad, for who's able to judge such a great people?" And God says back to him, "I have done according to your words. I have given you a wise and an understanding," or a hearing heart, "so that there's none like thee before thee, nor shall any arise after thee." And he goes on to say, "In addition, I'm going to give you a couple other things too, all right? I'm going to give you riches and honor, things that you did not ask for, in addition to a hearing heart." And then in verse 15 it says, "And Solomon awoke, and behold, it was a dream. And he went to Jerusalem, stood before the Ark of the Covenant, offered burnt offerings, and he worshipped." He said, "Dan, God just encountered me. I just received something from God, and I'm going to worship him for what he gave to me in this dream."
Now, do you know any people that have received gifts from dreams?
Well, you know, the gift that God gave to Solomon was a hearing heart, the ability to hear the Holy Spirit in his heart, give him wisdom so he could make wise decisions. And, of course, if you can make wise decisions, you have favor amongst men, and you also have the blessing of God and prosperity. And I think anyone and everyone who begins to hear God through their dreams, including you, Sid. You know, you shared a dream with me a couple of days ago. You know, things before you, and if you can make, and the dream was counseling you to approach people in a wise manner, and by you saying yes to that and approaching them in a wise manner, you have favor with that people, you have blessing with that people. And so I really believe this kind of thing happens all the time. To all of us, we receive a hearing heart, we receive revelation, and a result of that is blessing and prosperity in our lives.
So, in effect, you're also saying to me that dreams can release creativity.
Absolutely, absolutely. And so much creativity comes from dreams. The scientist who was looking through a telescope trying to figure out what a benzene molecule looked like, he couldn't figure it out. So he had a dream at night of a dogs in a circle chasing one another. They had the tail of the dog in front of them in their mouth. And he woke up in the morning and said, "I wonder if the benzene molecule is circular." And he was able to prove through his microscope that it was. The guy who developed the sewing machine couldn't figure out how to thread the hook of the sewing machine. And in a dream at night, God gave him a picture of how the thread should go into the needle of the sewing machine. So I just think probably almost all creativity comes through this kind of a means.
Mark, give me a real-life situation of someone that had clues to their own health as a result of a dream.
A lady who worked with me as my personal assistant, and she had a dream at night that she entered into her house, and she could smell smoke, and she went looking for the fire and finally found the fire down in the kitchen in the lower cupboards. And She didn't really respond to that dream because she didn't really know exactly what that dream meant. But a couple months later, she went to the doctor, and the doctor said, you've got a fire inside of you. You've got an inflammation in your intestines caused by stress, and I'm going to give you some medication, and you're going to need to relax. And so she took the medication, she relaxed, and it went away. But and, of course, that dream was telling her that 2 months earlier. It said, in your home, the place that you live, your body, there's a fire. It's in the kitchen area, which is where we eat food, which symbolizes the digestive tract. It's not in the upper cupboards, which would be my esophagus or stomach, but it's in the lower cupboards, which is my intestines. In my intestines, there's a fire. So she was warned 2 months before pain warned her of a sickness, and she could have averted it by relaxing. And a year later, when the dream came back, she knew that she was being warned a second time. Okay, you're under stress again. If you don't relax, you're going back to the doctor. And she relaxed immediately, did not need to go back to the doctor, did not need medication. And so in that case, she heard the counsel of her dream, acted on it, and averted a sickness as a result of it.
Mark, in the times we're living in, can you imagine if God gave someone an idea for a business or how to make money, that they could end up being part of that great wealth transfer? Give me a real-life example of someone that had a dream that released creativity.
All right. I'll tell you about a young man named Eric Rose. When he was in college, he was training to be an artist, but he quit because the performance orientation just wrecked it for him. And so he left that, and he went into a totally left-brain kind of a job. I believe it was accounting. I kind of forget right now. But when he became alive to dreams, God gave him several dreams, reigniting his passion to draw and to paint and to create the visions that God was given to him. And God took him a step beyond what he'd done in the past, because God called him into sculpturing and making, you know, 6-foot sculptures out of bronze, you know, of beautiful, beautiful action kinds of figures, people worshiping in the presence of God, totally alive. And he's shown me some of these pictures. They're just totally alive. And these things sold for like thousands of dollars. And so God restored a crushed part within him, brought him back and enlarged the gift that God had initially given to him and made it into something where he could actually produce an income while he blessed the world and the body of Christ.
Well, you know, you've actually been corrected in your attitude towards people through dreams. Tell me about the time God showed you people are far more important than projects.
Well, we were in India, and we were going to tape for 2 weeks straight, 6 days a week, 10 hours a day. We were going to tape 6 of our key courses. We taped 100 sessions. I'd never talked 10 hours a day for 6 days a week. I wasn't sure I could do that. And I was pretty nervous because we were going to be on TV. And I had a dream. The first couple of days I was there, I had a couple, 2 or 3 dreams. The first dream, somebody came and asked for me to pray for them in the dream, and I just pushed them off, brushed them off. I was too busy, you know, and I felt terrible. I thought, Mark, how could you do that, you know? And in the second dream I had, my computer got stolen from me, and then it got destroyed. And when I got up and journaled about those dreams and asked the Lord, he said, Mark, he said, the people who are working the cameras here are more important than what you're producing. And I want you to teach them how to...
And by the way, in the natural, that doesn't make sense. What you're producing should be more important than the people doing the cameras.
Well,
but from a spiritual perspective, that's not true. From a natural perspective, that's true.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And God, the wonderful counselor, is rebalancing me and saying, Mark, put people first. And so I asked him, the guy who was running the production, you know, could we have morning devotions and I'll teach these guys how to hear God's voice and how to interpret dreams? And Tim said, sure. So in the morning we journaled and learned how to hear God's voice. We shared journaling, and over lunchtime we shared dreams for 2 weeks straight. And those guys became proficient at hearing God's voice and interpreting dreams. And we taped over 100 sessions in that 2 week period.
But had you not listened to God, you would have taped. But I believe the anointing wouldn't have even been there like it was.
Well, that's exactly right. And the friendships that developed there amongst us still remain to this day. You know, we brought life to everyone that we were touching there, not just those who are going to watch us on DVD, but everyone received the life of the Lord Jesus Christ.
I'm going to talk about a man that was in ministry for his first 15 years that thought all dreams were pizza. And then you got the revelation through a man that lived 93 years that studied dreams. And now, today, you look forward to your dreams. How would your life be different if you had never gotten this understanding?
Well, I would have missed so much wonderful counsel from God, and I would be out doing things in an imbalanced way, much more...
You'd be doing things in the flesh rather than doing things by the Spirit.
Yep, and a much more caustic individual. I wouldn't be softened by the power of the Holy Spirit to change me and say, keep people first, love people, don't get consumed with projects. So much of my personality and life has changed as a result of that, and success, I believe, also.
I want you to speak to someone that's listening right now and has just said, that's him. He has a gift. He can understand dreams. I'll never be able to.
All right. I will just simply say that is a lie from the enemy. That is not true, because I did not start out with a gift on interpreting dreams. I'm a left-brain thinker, theologian, Baptist background, and dreams and visions and intuition was impossible for me. And God taught me how to do it, and I can lay it out linearly with a clear lineal set of rules that you can follow so that you can reproduce in your life what God has produced in my life. I promise and guarantee that can happen.
Okay, and I want you to give, even though they don't totally understand yet because they haven't gotten your course, I want them to start dreaming. Give them instructions on what they should do tonight very quickly.
All right. Just simply, as you go to sleep, say, God, give me a dream. I believe in dreams. I'm asking you to speak to me. Put your paper and pencil next to your bed and say, heart, when you wake me up, I will record what you give me. And then get yourself 8 hours of sleep. If at all possible, you want to aim for 8 hours because that's going to give you the best opportunity for dream time. And when you awaken, if a dream is there, begin to jot it down, a summary of it. And if you don't remember all of it, don't yank on it. Just gently tug and say, Holy Spirit, remind me the rest. Tune to flow and let it just bubble on up to you.
Okay, and get the course, 3-CD set, 5 sessions of teaching, and a workbook. Hear God through your dreams. It's time for a gift of $35. To hear this week's interview or watch archives of our television show, It's Supernatural, visit our website at www.sidroth.org. That's www.sidroth.org. To receive a complimentary copy of our bi-monthly teaching newsletter, materials catalog, or information about becoming Mishpucha or Chalitzim, write to me, Sid Roth, Post Office Box 39222, Charlotte, North Carolina, 28278. To place a credit card order, call anytime, 1-800-447-2697. For all other calls, the number is 704-943-6500. That's 704-943-6500. For a CD of this week's broadcast, send a donation to Sid Roth. That's SIDROTH. Post Office Box 39222, Charlotte, North Carolina, 28278.